Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm your host, James Coe, joined alongside by, it's a full house again today, folks. We've got Matt Harmon, West Virginia's finest. What's going on?
Hey, you rarely lead off with me.
Here's the thing, I usually go clockwise or counterclockwise. Today, I'm going to go clockwise.
Okay.
And that's how I always end up on you.
Okay. Hi.
Oh, okay.
And hi to you and everybody else listening.
Okay. Too. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what's up?
It's Friday. It's Friday, and I'm here.
You have a job.
It's Friday.
You've got stuff to do.
It's Friday. Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Man, this is a low-energy start to the podcast. WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart.
I'm ready to go. I'm just wrapping up cup of coffee number three today. That's it.
Yeah, well, but just so we're clear, he says cup of coffee, but what he really means is his cup is about an ounce or
it's
several.
It's a big gulp.
It's a big gulp.
Of coffee.
He's got a 40 of coffee.
40.
That's great. I love it. We got a full house again today on a Friday, despite it being Friday. The franchise is in the building.
Whoa. Top 40 chais
in the
house. What's up? All right. I have a fake narrative to spin here.
Yes.
If you guys recall a few weeks ago, there was a discussion about if Harmon liked Monday or Friday podcasts better.
That's right.
And he said he liked Friday because I think it was because this is the fake narrative because I'm not actually here.
No, right. That is just...
Well, you know what?
Accurate. That's accurate.
I've missed two straight podcasts, so your dream came true. But now it's your worst nightmare because I'm here on a Friday, buddy.
This is where all
the energy is right now.
Yeah.
It's all bottled up in franchise.
I'm a little caught off guard. I should have known that the narrative was going to spin back.
See what I did there, guys?
I don't dislike the Friday podcast I don't like the Friday podcast more because you're not here. I like preparation into the week better than recapping it.
I know. It was just a fake narrative I hold grudges.
See, you're letting... pull back the curtain here a little bit. Sheck is trying to pry us apart after bringing us together for the fantasy hipster thing, and you're letting him do it.
Yeah, I should just block all the haters.
Okay.
Yeah, block the haters.
I apologize. Had to get that off my chest.
Wow. All okay, right. We got a big time show in front of us here today. We're gonna do a Thursday night football reaction. We're gonna do deep sleepers, and we're gonna do EDG every damn game, covering every single game that's coming up. On a Sunday, a little bit light because there's a lot of bye weeks this week. Oh, FYI.
Part two of the bye week apocalypse.
I know. But we start the show, as always, with our top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
LeSean McCoy back practicing in a limited capacity. He's got a hamstring injury. Told reporters he was, quote, ready to roll. He seems pretty confident about playing on Monday. And as a matter of fact, head coach Rex Ryan said that he's pretty confident that LeSean McCoy will be back as well. It's an absolutely terrible matchup on the road against Seattle. Do you trust LeSean McCoy despite the injury and the bad matchup, MG?
I do because there are so many teams on a bye this week. I like the fact that it is a run-heavy offense, and it's one where he is going to get plenty of opportunity. I know the matchup's not great, but
horrible.
I like the potential for volume. Now, I would like to hope that he's healthier than the last time they tried to run him out there when he just didn't look like himself at all, and he had like nine carries or something like that and didn't do a lot with them. But, in a week where everybody's going to be shorthanded, I mean, going through my lineups yesterday, it was just, it was like a ghost town in my fantasy lineup. So I would trust McCoy this week.
Anybody basically benching the guy? I mean, I know it's hard with this many teams on a bye, but, boy, it's hard to trust.
It is Seattle he's going against.
Yeah.
He's not going to be 100%. I don't know.
I think what I would recommend, and you can do this since it's the Monday night game,
yeah.
I would try to acquire like some sort of, Mike Gillisley's obviously gone, but I would try to play McCoy in the flex spot and then acquire maybe a receiver on Buffalo, maybe like a Marcus Goodwin.
Are there any receivers on Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, like
Percy Harvin?
Jeez.
Revenge.
No. But like either one of Marcus Goodwin, maybe like a Jermaine Kearse or Tyler Lockett if he's been dropped, and like have those guys as insurance and kind of judge where you are going into the Monday night game. Like if you need that kind of ceiling, maybe then you play McCoy and just take the risk if you're already about to lose anyways? And if you're pretty much kind of going in with the lead, maybe then you just need a little bit of help, then you play one of those other guys.
I will say this, too. If there's any kind of tightness in his hamstring, keep in mind Buffalo does have a bye week. I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised if the team played it a little bit cautious. Maybe rolled him out there, see how he goes. And if he feels any kind of tightness whatsoever, like, you know what, man, let's pull you back. We got a bye week next week, and we'll roll you out again against the Bengals after the bye. I don't know. It's a very high risk, high reward. And quite frankly, is it really high reward too, considering that he's taking on Seattle? I don't know, man. It's to me, I almost feel like you can't play the guy, especially given that he plays on Monday night. All right, we'll go to San Francisco. Carlos Hyde reportedly has a sprained AC joint. That's his shoulder. He's been practicing, but in a non-contact jersey. He told reporters that he's sore and that he is iffy for Sunday versus New Orleans. It's a beautiful matchup, but he told reporters he's not sure how he'll handle a hard hit. He has no idea. Asked about whether he was going to play, he said, quote, "I'm really not sure." Mike Davis, DeJuan Harris, I imagine you got to keep pretty handy there. All right, let's move on. Green Bay, James Starks was back practicing in a limited capacity but is unlikely to play this week, according to PackardNews.com. Ty Montgomery also back at practice, working almost exclusively with the running backs, doing, quote, "all of their individual drills." Montgomery is expected to be the lead back Sunday. Randall Cobb limited with a hamstring. He's now looking, I don't want to say doubtful because that's not his official designation, but certainly he has been ruled a game time decision now for the second straight week for the Green Bay Packers. I guess
it's looking bleak. I saw another report
it's not looking
that
good.
Wasn't Packers news that said he's not as far along as he'd like to be.
Yeah.
Which with a hamstring injury is not a great indicator that he's going to play this weekend.
McCarthy called him a game time decision. So,
as for like Starks, I think he's an awesome stash this week. He's probably going to headline the waiver wire on Sunday just
100%.
Because. And I'm getting way more tweets about stupid Ty Montgomery again. Yes, people, believe it or not, I saw that he was in the meeting rooms with the running backs and stuff.
That's right.
However, with Starks coming back, there's a very good chance that his role in the backfield diminishes greatly when they have
unless he balls out.
Unless he balls out. And if he does, and if that continues, then we'll make the switch.
Stop trying to change rules in the middle of the game, people.
Like, look, I'm starved at wide receiver in a couple leagues, but I can't switch Theo Riddick to a wide receiver and start him over Mohamed Sanu or, you know, Adam Humphries, whoever I'd like.
How the hell are we still talking about this?
Because people won't let it go.
But we can let it. But we can let it go.
Right, we need to address it. My mentions otherwise are a disaster.
So. I like
for a guy who doesn't care. It sounds a whole lot like you care.
Yeah,
I care that we're talking about it. I don't care about the topic.
All right, let's go.
But
yes,
just a sidebar. If Randall Cobb sits, I think that's good news for Jordy Nelson, who played a season high 63% of the snaps in the slot last game when Cobb sat out.
And that's interesting.
Caught a 58-yarder, his longest catch of the season.
Still not getting any separation.
Yeah, but his separation, like most receivers, does go up in the slot, and you're not going to face as much tight man coverage. So I think that's good news for him, especially because it's not like the Colts have any good nickel defenders anyways. No.
I think especially if Cobb sits, man, like Jordy, Devontae, and Ty are all like borderline wide receiver two or
better
plays.
Must starts.
Oh, like, all of them.
Yeah.
Because the Packers don't have a running game, so they're gonna throw it 50 times again, and each of those guys is, you know, looking good for 10-plus points.
And the thing is, this team is built to throw. I mean, I know they want to run the ball, but they're built to throw. I mean, they've got Aaron Rodgers. They've got these wide receivers that all have good size and good speed. I don't know, man. It's interesting. I know their hand has been forced into throwing, but in a way, I think that's kind of good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this in the Next Gen Stats column that has too many words in it. Like their best personnel package, I think, is having Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson in the slot when they're on the field together. What's his name?
Adams.
Adams on, how did I forget his name? The left wide receiver spot, and then at the right wide receiver rotate, you know, and
Davis, Allison,
Jeff Janis.
Geronimo Allison.
And then have, you know, Ty Montgomery in the backfield, and they could do a lot of different things with that. I don't know if they want to play that way, but I think that's how their best fit.
Might be the best name in all of football.
Geronimo Allison.
Geronimo Allison.
Fantastic name.
So great. All right. In Kansas City, Spencer Ware concussion has been ruled out. He didn't practice all week. You could fire up Charcandrick West with extreme confidence. Jeremy Maclin did miss practice on Thursday with a groin injury. Was back at practice on Friday. They gave him a probable designation, so it looks like he's going to be good to go. Although, He doesn't have a great matchup against Jalen Ramsey, who's been emerging as a top-flight corner in this league. And Macklin himself has underperformed tremendously. He's got 2 touchdowns on the season, and I don't believe he's topped 80 yards ever in the season. And he's got, I think, 4 of his last 7.
You might be able to just say ever.
His season high was 78.
His season high was 78.
Pretty positive.
That's, I mean, with the Chiefs, you might as well just say ever.
Good. All right. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, Big Ben was a limited participant in practice this week, did 7-on-7 drills, shared first-team practice reps with Landry Jones, and receiver Eli Rogers said, quote, "It looks like he's good to go versus the Ravens on Sunday." I'll ask franchise this. I think he is going to go, or at least he'll give it a good, solid college try.
Yep.
But he's on the road against Baltimore, and for some reason, those AFC North games just turned into slugfest, and Big Ben on the road has been atrocious.
Yeah, don't care. I think if Big Ben starts, he's got top 10 fantasy upside with all these guys on buys. If he starts, you got to start him. He's Big Ben. He's got Antonio Brown, Sammy Coates out there.
Yeah.
Lev Bell to throw passes to. He's got all the weapons. He might be limited, but so what?
Big Ben being out there makes me feel better about Sammy Coates potentially this week. I think Antonio Brown's a guy you go with regardless. We've seen that Landry Jones will throw in his direction. I don't know that Sammy Coates is really a viable fantasy play if Landry Jones is the one back there slinging the rock.
So I want to throw out this good nugget.
Agree.
Rank had from courtesy of the stats team in his like-dislike column, which you should all read.
Which
is published today.
A must-read.
/ like-dislike. Ben Roethlisberger is just 2-5 in his first start after an injury with 9 touchdowns and 10 picks.
Yeah.
So
hell.
Add that onto his already awful road splits, and I am off of Big Ben this week.
Yeah. I'm not starting Ben, but I would start Coates.
Well,
Coates is also
you
off
guys
the
can
injury.
Do whatever you want. Fine, don't listen to me.
There you go. I mean, Coates is off the injury report too from that hand fractured thing that or laceration or whatever
good.
That he had. So that's good news too.
And Ben loves throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, I don't know, but I it is a pretty dicey matchup on the road.
Ravens defense has been stingy this year. But
Been better on the ground than in the air.
I think you got to take your chances with all these teams on bye.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Wait, let me ask you guys a question.
Yes.
You what? Stream Colin Kaepernick against the Saints or start Big Ben on the road?
Oh, Colin Kaepernick all the way. All the way.
I just don't think it's that. I don't think it's that simple.
I'd start Big Ben.
Kaepernick hasn't even had 200 passing yards in a game yet. And like you're praying that he gets. Actually, it kind of does though.
Only because, but not necessarily because he runs so.
Well, but see, but then you need him to get you those 65 to 70 rushing yards, and you need him to get you touchdowns. Like, if he just gets you, 195 yards and a touchdown, and maybe 60 rushing yards, like, that ain't great.
Playing the Saints though.
I mean, yeah. Great.
That game could push like 150 plays run with the way the 49ers have the lowest second per play in the league. The Saints have the most plays run.
I understand all that, and I go back to what I told you guys at the beginning of the season. If he's not connecting with receivers, if he's throwing two hoppers, it doesn't matter what the it doesn't matter how bad the defense is if the quarterback can't get it to his guys.
That's a good point. It's a terrible offense. I don't know. I think to answer the question, I think I would just go with Big Ben.
Yeah, you go with the better quarterback.
Go with the better player. Yes. He is the better player.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the tiebreaker. I say that, but then I could easily see like Sunday night looking back and be like, that was wrong. That was the
All right, so James and I say Kaepernick. The three you say Big Ben. We'll talk on Monday and see which one was the better play.
Fight.
I'm kind of dancing the sidelines.
I feel like they're both going to be equally meh.
Yeah, it's an awful week for streaming quality.
Oh, it's so bad.
We're gonna come back on Monday, and it'll be like, Kaepernick had 13 points and Roethlisberger had like 13.5.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford and Colin Kaepernick and Ryan Tannehill are among the top quote-unquote streaming options.
It's not good, folks.
It's not good.
Bad.
Yeah. But man, I am. I don't know why I'm absurdly high on Colin Kaepernick this week.
I played this game against when they played the Bucks before their bye, and I mean, it was fine. Like that's the thing.
Like 18 points
for who? No, he got 18 points against the Bills, but then he had like 13 or 14 against the Bucks. But that's kind of the which is so weird to say, but like that's the appeal of Kaepernick this year is more so the floor than the ceiling because of the volume of plays that they run and his rushing ability. I mean, the 49ers by far lead the league in rushing yards by quarterbacks.
And who'd you play him over?
I had Cam on bye, so.
Oh.
All right, we should probably move on.
All right, let's go to Minnesota. Jerick McKinnon returned to practice Thursday in a limited capacity. He's been dealing with an ankle injury. He's very confident that he will play versus the Lions. Needless to say, it's a good matchup. Corey Coleman was back practicing in full. Remember, he broke his hand in week two. He's expected to play versus Dallas, and as a matter of fact, he practically guaranteed it. He hasn't played since week two, as we mentioned. By the way, it's a homecoming narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a Dallas native?
Coleman is from Dallas.
Uh-oh. Yeah, buddy.
Uh-oh.
Narrative Street.
What does this all mean? Look, I think Corey Coleman, if you got him, I feel confident about firing him up. Dallas has got some injuries in the secondary there. That's fine. But I will say – oh, go ahead.
We should mention Cody Kessler has been named the starter.
Oh, that's right.
Which is, I think, a bit of a negative for the pass catchers.
Agreed.
Maybe not a negative for the Browns' functionality on offense. I mean, Josh McCown, we know, has a lot of DGAF to him, and we'll fire it down.
Right. I think it's more negative for Coleman than it is for Pryor, who seems to be able just to do a little bit of everything in that offense.
Yeah.
Does this open it up for TPS, Corey Coleman coming back?
I mean, I don't know. He hasn't really been, you know, super bracketed or anything like that. I mean, he's just been winning his matchups regardless. So
is that true? I thought I read a stat that he had been consistently double teamed over the last 4 weeks.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, but at the same time, I think that it could certainly open things up for him. I mean, just having another option on the field, and like the Browns have a lot of firepower, and we've been talking about this since the preseason. Pryor has played well above. I mean, he's been what you kind of wanted Josh Gordon to be, which is crazy to say, but I mean, he has been. I don't this former wide receiver that I told people to draft in the sixth round because I'm an idiot.
There's nothing negative for Terrell Pryor about Corey Coleman coming back.
True. Yes.
There you go.
That's what I would say.
All right. Tony Romo, quote, throwing missiles, whatever that means, or or maybe he just looked like a, quote, little missile.
That was the greatest tweet this week.
Double whatever the hell that means. I don't know what – I mean – what does that mean, looking like a little missile?
Just so we're clear, this is the thing Dez said.
This is something Dez said. Dez either said Tony Romo was throwing missiles or that he looked like a little missile.
Like, is that a compliment?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
Like, if somebody's meant to be, but.
Meanwhile, Dak just keeps rolling along.
I know.
Yeah. Dude, against Cleveland, give me all of Dak.
Yeah.
If you're
playing DFS, like the Dak-Zeke stack is great because you're mortgaging all of the potential.
Yeah, the old Dak stack.
Well, can I say this, though? See, no. I've got Dak and Zeke on a team, but the thing that I'm worried about is that either one guy's going to go off or the other guy won't.
Right.
Well, that still means you get all the touchdowns, though.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, if they are going to go off, then if they both go off, great. If one goes off and the other doesn't, then you're just still getting – just pretend both of them scored those points.
Yeah, okay. I have Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon in my league of record, and like that 1 week when Gordon had four touchdowns or whatever, Phillip only put up like 14 points, but Gordon had like a 32 burger. So I was like, all right, let's just, in my mind, slide like eight of those over to Phil, and bam, what a great day.
Right, and like last week against Philadelphia, both of them scored very well.
That's true.
So it's something like, especially when – daily when you're chasing like a big point total, like that's what you're going for. You're hoping that like Dak throws two and runs one in, and Zeke goes over 150 yards and runs one in, which is certainly possible against this Browns defense.
Or Dak dumps it off to Zeke.
Or even that.
60 yards. See, so
no matter unless something terrible happens, like Terrence Williams scores on a wide receiver reverse.
Right, right. And they don't really use that often. All right, so meanwhile, Aqib Talib didn't practice this week with a back injury. He went so far as to get a second opinion on his back. He's looking
– He's out.
He's ruled
he's
out
been ruled
this
out.
Morning. Yeah,
all right, there
out.
You go. I thought he was going to be a game-time decision. I guess he was ruled out.
Yeah.
What does it mean for Amari Cooper? This is good news for the Oakland passing attack. There's no doubt about it.
I think it's better news for Amari Cooper than Michael Crabtree.
I was going to say the opposite.
I think Crabtree has kind of become that guy that everybody focuses on.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard defenses say that when it comes to facing the Raiders, not that they're not worried about Amari Cooper, but I think a lot of teams have concentrated more energy on Michael Crabtree. Especially the red zone target. I can't remember who it was. There's somebody they played a couple weeks ago, and one of the defensive backs said, yeah, we were more worried about Michael Crabtree.
Why I was saying that I think it's better for Crabtree is because I was peeking at Next Gen Stats, and Harmon, you might know this a little more. I don't know if you wrote it up yesterday or not, but Crabtree plays more of his snaps on the side. So I didn't get a chance to read it yesterday.
That's okay. There's a lot of words.
There's a lot of words, and I've been having to look at other words too. But Crabtree plays more of his snaps at the right wide receiver spot, which means he would have locked up with Aqib Talib. which now means he's probably going to get Bradley Roby.
Well, I think Roby tends to play the right corner when Harris moves into the slot, but Harris plays at the right corner spot more than any other. So, I mean, I think he and Cooper are going to see a lot of each other on Sunday. But I think that it's definitely good news all around because, I mean, those guys, Cooper plays over 50% of his spots at the left, snaps at the left wide receiver spot, but, I mean, he's still going to move around plenty. So
yeah, it's good for both of them, but if there was one that I thought got a slightly bigger bump, it was Crabb.
All right, there you go. DeMarco Murray was a full participant in practice Thursday. He was limited with a toe injury earlier in the week. Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, both limited in practice Thursday with their respective knee injuries. Tyrell Williams sounds pretty confident that he's going to play. He told reporters, quote, "I'll be good to go."
So does Benjamin. Benjamin also said is looking likely that he's going to play.
Hunter Henry, meanwhile, hasn't practiced all week. He's looking very unlikely to play. I didn't get an update on Hunter Henry, but
he's been ruled out, I think.
There you go. He's going to be ruled out Sunday versus Tennessee. Steve Smith was back at practice, not in front of reporters, which I found to be very interesting. It's the first time in 4 weeks he's been back on the practice field since spraining his ankle. Another tight end, Dwayne Allen, was back practicing. Looks like he's going to be a go versus Green Bay. We're not sure how much he'll play, but he will be out there. He was limited in practice with an ankle injury. This could obviously have a very large negative impact on Rainbow Six.
Jack Doyle.
You're not buying it?
Not buying it.
Tell me why.
I'm off Dwayne Allen. I'm done. I tried to ride for this guy for years, and like I've gotten nothing to show for it.
Okay.
Even when he's there, he gets a couple of targets. I mean, I'm done.
He's on the field a lot.
Yay. Like I'm over it.
I guess it's just a question of does Andrew Luck, for some unbeknownst reason, I don't know why, he likes throwing to Dwayne Allen.
He likes throwing to tight ends.
He likes throwing to tight ends.
Yeah. And Dwayne Allen's going to be on the field, which I think digs into Jack Doyle's targets. I mean, even if you just look back at the history of when Allen and Fleener were together, like Fleener would go off when Allen would sit. And we've seen the same thing pretty much happen with Jack Doyle. And you've got to at least raise the question, if you've been riding Doyle, does this mean that's the end of that gravy train?
How bad is tight end this week, by the way?
Oh, it's
oh my God.
It's so bad. Terrible. Jordan Reed, Gronk, Martellus, Eifert, all on a bye.
This week, I would maybe still start Doyle because it's so tough. But like, if you look at when they were both on the field healthy, week one, 4 targets for Doyle, 6 targets for Allen.
Yeah.
Week two, 4 targets for Allen, 5 targets for Doyle. Week three, 5 and 6. Week four, 4 and 1. But, I mean, they all split. Then you get week eight, when Dwayne Allen's out.
Yeah,
ten targets for Doyle. So like they are certainly going to split work, and the trouble is even if Allen isn't 100% and he only steals 2 or 3 targets,
right?
That could be a big chunk off of Doyle's potential workload.
And Moncrief is back too, and
yeah,
he's going to be the top threat in the red zone regardless. He had like a 40-plus yard touchdown called back last week on a holding penalty, and he still got 40 yards and a touchdown last week.
Boom.
And even though the Colts wide receivers didn't do much last week against Kansas City, all three of them were on the field for over 80% of the snaps.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So they weren't running a lot of 12, huh?
I guess not.
Basically 11. So,
yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, let's talk about Thursday Night Football, shall we? Atlanta taking on Tampa Bay. It was an ugly game. There's no question about it. But the great thing about it was that pretty much every fantasy asset that you threw out there did okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Matt Ryan, I mean, just went off. He went berserk. Julio Jones had a nice day, 111 yards and a touchdown. Freeman had a very nice day as well. We're at the point now, right? I mean, I know Matt Ryan is your quarterback one or whatever it is, but gosh, he's got to be in the discussion for the MVP as well, no?
Oh yeah,
certainly.
No doubt.
Yes.
I mean, both fantasy and NFL MVP at this point because he has just been so good. And I mean, I feel like we are long past the point of saying you should start. I feel like after he went to Seattle,
yes,
and put up a 21 fantasy point game. I mean, he had 335, 3 touchdowns in Seattle.
In Seattle,
like at that point, there were no more. I mean, there were no more doubts.
Yeah, I mean, even against Denver, he had 15 points in a matchup that hardly anybody can even approach those numbers.
Right.
And yeah. So we're about like 3 or 4 weeks past the
like we're long past that now.
Yeah.
By the way, 344 yards for Matt Ryan and 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
He was tremendous. I mean, I get the Tampa Bay's passing defense is
bad.
Is real bad, actually, is the official term.
It's very, very bad. But I thought Matt Ryan looked Very sharp, man. 25 of 34 passing. He looked really, really sharp. Meanwhile, Devontae Freeman, 17 carries, 77 yards for him on the ground. Also added, two catches and 28 yards there through the air. So he gave you double-digit points. It's pretty good. Any takeaways from the Atlanta run game?
Nope.
Not really.
No.
Leo Jones still balling. 111 and a touchdown.
It was so funny. I had plenty of people tweeting at me during the first. Again, people, stop first half tilting. It's not good for your health.
It's true.
You know, so many people are like, what do I do with Julio Jones? What am I supposed to do with Julio Jones? Then he finishes like, and actually I fell asleep for a portion of the game because I don't sleep at night at all anymore, apparently. And I woke up and he had like over 100 yards and a touchdown. And a lot of people in my mentions like, okay, never mind. I'm good now.
I'm good. He had 11 targets in that game.
Yeah.
As well. All right. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, Jameis Winston, 23 of 37, 261 through the air, 3 touchdowns, had a fumble lost, but overall a very nice, very usable day in fantasy for Jameis Winston. Did leave that game, if I'm not mistaken, with
a minor knee injury.
Yep. Although he says he feels good.
Yeah, everyone pretty much, you know, was saying that he looked good to go, just basically precautionary, taking him out. Mike Glennon even scored a touchdown, for goodness sake. Oh, boy. 10 of 11 for Mike. 75 yards. It's pretty good. Peyton Barber got the start. 11 carries. An atrocious 31 yards on the ground.
This backfield's not great unless we get Quiz or Doug Martin back.
Please, Doug Martin.
They are on their fourth or fifth string running back at this point. I mean, what can you really expect?
They're starting what was Peyton Barber, like a seventh round rookie? And
he was an undrafted rookie.
Oh, God, he was undrafted too, and a veteran that wasn't in the league like a year ago.
But was he on undrafted?
I don't know, because I don't really know what the qualifications to be on that show are, because apparently you can get drafted and be on.
Anyways, one thing I will note about this game is it followed suit with, so far this year, games where Winston passes for north of 30 attempts, Cameron Brate produces.
Okay.
Like, those are basically the only games where he's put up usable fantasy weeks, because otherwise he doesn't block as much, so he gets off the field when they're in more run-heavy strips.
Who was the receiver that had been playing well last couple weeks?
Russell Shepard.
Russell Shepard was out.
He was out with it.
I thought that was important for both Adam Humphries and Cameron Brate. Mike Evans was his usual sterling self. 11 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of them was just absurd.
I mean, when he just, like, sunned Robert Alford?
Yeah,
it was,
man.
Just like, nope.
Yeah, like how at first in the broadcast, you and I were watching that at the bar before the movie, they were like, oh, that might be a penalty. Oh, no, that's just one guy being bigger and stronger than the other guy.
That was absurd.
It was disgusting.
It was awesome.
I tweeted out a pie graph from the air yards, like the intended air yards of the two quarterbacks, and you look at Mike Evans' share of the air yards, which is like how far the ball actually travels in the air.
Okay.
And it's over 50%, which is, I mean, that's just outrageous compared to what these other guys are doing there. It's wild, just the massive share of the offense that he has right now. And you can't really blame him. They don't have any other threats.
It's true. To your point, Mike Evans, 17 targets out of 48 pass attempts.
He has over 100 already, and he's only played 7 games.
He's on pace for over 200, to like more than what Julio Jones got last year.
He's going to
have a special season.
35% of the targets.
But, Matt, he drops too many passes.
Don't at me. I'm old enough to remember that when that was going to keep him from being great.
Oh, can I also mention, too, Austin Hooper?
People talked him up as a good spot start because Tammy was out and he got in there. So
I thought he looked good.
He's going to be a guy we need to keep an eye on next year, I think.
He had 3 catches for 46 yards. He had a long of 28. I thought Austin Hooper looked very good. I was encouraged by what I saw, especially considering that the Falcons' offense, to this point, they haven't really thrown to the tight end very often.
Well, Jacob Tamu was one of the league leaders in red zone targets before this game, which, because apparently I guess it's just illegal to throw to Julio Jones in the red zone.
They don't do that.
Which is very
curious. He's too good.
Right. Maybe the NFL rules did actually come down. Like,
oh, did Dean Blandino make that ruling?
Somebody needs to have him come on TA, unbutton a couple of buttons, and tell us why it's illegal for teams to throw
check
to Julio
your email.
Jones.
I think there's a memo in your email.
Oh,
perfect,
got it.
Perfect. Also one that I've been fired for saying what I just said.
Oh, good.
Hold on, guys. I think we're getting a phone call.
Prepare yourselves for heat. It's Franchise's Fiery Phone-In of the Week.
My fire take is that Alfred Morris gets revenge on the Redskins.
Revenge!
It's time for Franchise's Fiery Phone-In. Franchise, I thought you were in studio with us, pal.
I'm outside in the sun. You guys know what the sun is made of?
No.
Fire!
right, bud. Give us your lock of the week.
My lock of the week is Tim Hightower versus the 49ers' awful defense.
Ooh.
Look, Tim Hightower had 27 touches last week. If he gets half of that, he's a lock for at least 20 fantasy points.
Damn.
Against his bad 49ers defense that's allowed 100-yard rusher in six straight games and has allowed 562 rush yards in the last two games. You know what Hightower did last week, guys? He ran for over 100 yards. You know who the Saints' last 100-yard rusher was? Tim Hightower last year in Week 16 against the Jaguars, winning fantasy titles.
Hey, there's so much fire. There's so much fire. There's sirens in the background.
The fire trucks are coming to put them out.
They're trying to hose me down, guys. Out of here. No, I don't need help. It's okay. All right, they're gone. Hear what I said about Tim Hightower.
Yes. Give me a bust of the week, bud.
My bust of the week is Theo Riddick versus the Vikings.
What?
Everyone is like, oh, well, Jordan Howard just put up 200 yards against the Vikings last week, so Riddick is going to have a huge week, obviously. And, you know, I have no issues with that way of thinking, except that it's wrong. Detroit running backs are averaging 69 rush yards per game. That's 29th in the NFL.
Nice.
And the Vikings have held opponents to 14 points or fewer in all three home games this season. They're at home this week. Despite the poor performance last week by the Vikings defense, they're still the best defense in the league statistically. And Theo Riddick is very touchdown dependent. In games where he hasn't scored touchdowns, he's only averaging 57 scrimmage yards per game.
Boom. Sleeper of the week.
My sleeper, and I know I've said this one before, I've been on this guy since the preseason, is Derrick Henry against the Chargers. Look, you guys know what Derrick Henry can do?
What?
Sit on the bench while Murray plays all the snaps?
He can run. You know what else he can do?
What else, pal?
He can catch.
Okay.
You know what else he can do?
Score touchdowns?
He can run the hell over people like a damn locomotive.
Okay.
Look, DeMarco Murray has a toe injury. He's been practicing in full, but I'm not scared. Coach Mike Mularkey, I mean, what kind of name is that anyway, Mularkey? Like, get out of here, bro. He said they want to give Derrick Henry more run this week. Like, duh, why haven't you been giving him more run all season? You're letting the Heisman Trophy winner collect dust on the sideline? What is wrong with you? Derrick Henry, let's go this week.
All right, fire. Is that your fire take?
No, it's not.
Give me a fire take.
The flames have come back since the fire department went by. Here comes my fire take. It's Damian Williams versus the Jets. He's going to get a touchdown.
What?
Whoa.
He's going to score a touchdown. Look, he scored touchdowns in two straight games. Arian Foster's retired now. Damian Williams is going to get additional opportunities to spell future Hall of Famer Jay Ajayi. Look, Damian Williams has three red zone scores this season. Jay Ajayi has four. That's only one touchdown difference. And Ajayi has 29 fantasy points in the red zone, and Damian Williams has 21.
Wow,
Let's go. Damian Williams, if you need a spot start, throw him in your lineup and pray to the fantasy gods.
All right, why don't you cool off and come back into the studio?
Hey, buddy, put your pants back on. Come back in.
Oh, God, it's so hot out here.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. It was the best. The fire truck came through.
That was perfect. We did not script that, everybody.
Oh my gosh, that just happened.
Wow. That was something else right there.
Wow.
That was tremendous. Maybe the best.
Every time you think they can't get fierier, more fiery.
Fierier.
The flames just keep coming.
I love it. All right, let's talk deep sleepers. It's Friday, which means most likely all the waivers have run. And you're desperate right now. You're looking at your Sunday roster, and there's got some holes in it. You need somebody. You need somebody to fill in for that horrendous bye week empty spot you've got on your roster. Or in your soul. Let's go around. Let's talk about deep sleepers. Not for your soul, but for your fantasy.
Nothing we can do about your soul.
We shall start with Alex Gelhar, WizKid from Wisconsin.
Me first? What an honor. Well, I'm going to go to tight end since we referred earlier to how the position is kind of a disaster right now.
It is.
And I'm going to give you a guy. This is not a homer pick because I did not go to his college, even though it is the main college of my home state of Wisconsin. Lance Kendricks.
Woo!
For your Los Angeles Rams.
He went to Marquette?
No, he went to – he was a Badger.
Oh,
he was – Wisconsin. That's the primary.
He's a Badger.
He's a Badger.
I was very confused.
So, anyways, he saw – prior to their week 8 bye, he saw 17 targets between week 6 and 7.
Interesting.
Got 89 yards and one touchdown.
Okay.
So, you know, only the one touchdown in 1 week. Obviously, a decent yardage the other week. But – I think he's a sneaky play. That Panthers secondary is still not the greatest. They've ramped up their pressure, which could be a disaster for Case Keenum. But if he's under duress the whole day, he's going to probably be throwing some checkdowns to Lance Kendricks. I like him for a decent little spot start.
All right, there you go. We're going to go to the franchise. Welcome back with your pants on now.
Hi.
What's going on?
Talking about deep sleepers, bud.
I love the fact that you're just out of breath right now. Look at you.
I'm sweating.
I'm sweating.
Your beard hairs are a little singed.
I came in close contact with the sun, closer than any man before.
Oh, my gosh.
In history? All right. You need my deep sleeper?
Yes.
Please.
Is this thing on?
It is. It is.
All right. CJ Procise is my deep sleeper.
Oh, he's back.
Ugh. Oh, he's back. Look, ProSize had 43% of the snaps last week. Christian Michael, I love you, man. Stay woke. 51% of the snaps. But he's trending downward. The Seattle run game is stalling. The entire offense is stalling.
Yeah.
CJ ProSize was Seattle's leading receiver last week. And they need his versatile skills and unique skill set. And Pete Carroll says they want to get this guy more involved. Take advantage of this of his skills with the run game stalling out, and I just think, you know, there's going to be opportunities for him to catch little short passes over the middle. Russell Wilson hasn't been throwing the deep ball very much, so let's go fire up CJ ProSize, especially in a PPR league. Get you 12 points there.
Oh, I absolutely love
Monday
it.
Night. Nice. He might be scoop him now. He could be a good fill in for LeSean McCoy if he can't go.
Well, that's a good point. He could be he's supposed to be the number one overall PPR back too.
He's still working. Only eight.
He's got a huge second half of the year.
Got half the season to go. So.
We welcome you back with open arms because you have your pants on. So
yeah.
That's good.
That's right.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, give me a deep sleeper.
I'm going with Dontrell Inman down in San Diego this week. You know, we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with Travis Benjamin. I mean, it looks like Tyrell Williams is going to play. At least those seem to be the reports.
Sure.
But it seems like Travis Benjamin's kind of going the other way, and he may not play. We already know Hunter Henry is out for this week, and we know that the Chargers still like to sling the rock all over the yard, especially against Tennessee. I think it'll happen. So Dontrell Inman, who's actually had a couple of really nice games, had a big game in week 4 against New Orleans, had 120 yards and a touchdown, had 72 receiving yards last week against the Broncos. So he has Phillip Rivers' trust, and in a week where there are a lot of other targets that are down or are less than 100% in the Chargers' offense, Dontrell Inman should get a lot of looks.
Matt Harmon.
Just to be clear, Benjamin did practice on Friday, so yes. He's probably going to play, but he's going to be playing through a PCL sprain, which is the same injury that Tyler Lockett has suffered through all year and killed my brand. So just to be clear on that, that he might be playing but might not play a big role, which brings Inman into focus, as Marcus Grant said. My deep sleeper is Brian Quick. I've written about Brian Quick in 3 separate articles this week, so that
DJ
just
be quick. Let's
that
go.
Just tells you where my life is. Quick has actually had over 50 yards in every game since he busted through in week 3.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's been involved. He had a season high in targets with 9, receiving yards 92, and snap share before their week 8 bye in London. If you look at his next gen stats, he's targeted downfield more than any other Rams receiver, and the Panthers have been giving up big plays to wide receivers with regularity. They give up the second highest yards per target to the wide receiver position with 9.28. Quick is going to line up a lot on the right side of the field, which should put him against a burnable rookie corner in Zach Sanchez and a veteran Robert McClain. So I think that Quick is a really good play if you're shooting for ceiling. I mean, I'm kind of all in on Quick having a really good week. He has a 70% catch rate when he has less than a yard of separation per next gen stats. And Case Keenum has been
good.
Where we've got a new metric going on, like to measure how often quarterbacks throw when their receivers don't have a ton of separation, called like an aggressiveness metric. Keenum is the second most aggressive quarterback in the league behind only Blake Bortles, which should surprise nobody.
All right, there you go. I'll give you one. How about Kenny Stills?
I like that.
Versus?
I like it.
Yeah.
The Jets. 8 targets in week 7, tied Jarvis Landry for 93% of the snaps, offensive snaps, there in week 7. I just, you know, the Jets, obviously, they suck against deep passes. Kenny Stills is good on deep passes. You do the math. So, yeah, Kenny Stills is a deep sleeper. I actually feel relatively confident about him, and he's widely available in the vast majority. I think he's available in 95% of NFL.com leagues. So, you know, again, even if you're in a 12-team league, I think he should be pretty widely available for you. Kenny Stills versus the Jets, my deep sleeper. All right, let's do EDG every damn game. We'll start Detroit at Minnesota. Gelhar.
Well, I'd be seriously concerned over starting Matthew Stafford, excuse me. I can't call him Matt. As he struggled last week on the road against the good Texans defense, and this is a good Minnesota defense that this feels like one of those games where they're going to be angry. Like, I don't like to buy into those narratives, but they've lost two straight. They're returning home. Zimmer's fired up. And I think it could be hard. Matthew Stafford could be hard pressed to put up a ton of numbers. I do not like any of the wide receivers this week. Do not like Marvin Jones. Do not like Anquan Boldin.
They don't like you either.
Get Golden Tate out of here. I'd be okay starting Theo Riddick or Eric Ebron simply because with the potential pressure, Stafford could be, like he faced against Houston, could be dumping it down a lot to the two of them. Ebron, in the five games he's played with the team so far this year, owns about 18% of the targets.
With how bad the offense is there in Minnesota, I feel like the defense is starting to get a little bit worn down. Yep. They've got great personnel, but the fact of the matter is the offensive line is a mess right now for Minnesota.
Absolutely.
And what we saw against Chicago was exactly that, the defense getting worn down, Jordan Howard racking up 200 yards somehow. I'd love to know what the group expectation is here for Marvin Jones, because I know that's a very stressful decision for a lot of fantasy owners out there.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm still debating in some of my leagues what to do.
I feel like I'm staying away where I can. Staying away.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to start him.
I mean, I do. I think your point though about the Viking defense is valid, and like I think Theo Riddick has a nice week, but I do think, you know, if you start any Lions, to kind of, you know, piggyback off of what Harmon said earlier, don't allow yourself to tilt over what happens in the first half, because if the Vikings can't move the ball again this week,
right,
then you could see that Vikings defense get worn down.
I have to wonder though if North Turner resigning has a big immediate shift on the type of attack the Vikings roll out, because with how bad that offensive line was, Turner, I believe, runs an Eric Coryell system, which requires a lot of deep drops
100%.
And things like that, which obviously does not. That's why Sam Bradford would hit the bottom of his 5 or 7 step drop and have three opposing defenders wrapped around him.
He's also Sam Bradford.
However, so that could switch. But yeah, I'm not starting anybody on the Lions other than Riddick or Ebron, and then the Vikings offense, like, no thanks.
All right.
Did you guys listen to my fiery phone in? Or?
Nope.
I mean, theoretic bust. No,
it was wrong, but that's okay.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore franchise. What are you watching for?
Well, first of all, Big Ben, obviously. I think if he starts, you got to start him. Antonio Brown is obviously a must start. Lev Bell doesn't have a touchdown yet this year.
Is that right?
I think he has 99 touches.
Interesting.
No touchdown, but he's averaging over 100 scrimmage yards per game.
Pretty good.
So set it and forget it. Sammy Coates, if Big Ben starts, I think you can take a chance on Sammy Coates and hope for a home run play.
All right.
On a bye week. Well, I'm not touching either of these tight ends. Jesse James just doesn't get the volume. And Ladarius Green, there were like whispers he might play this week, but I think that's not going to happen. And then on the Ravens side, I kind of like Joe Flacco as a streaming option. He's I think, 6 straight games with 40-plus pass attempts.
That is correct.
So the volume is there.
Great.
And then the Steelers have a 26th ranked pass defense, which is pee bad. And then I wrote about, in my FedEx Aaron Ground, I wrote about why I love Terrence West as a start this week. You can read more about that at NFL.com/FedEx.
Oh, look at the plug. What a pro.
West averaging 4.8 yards per carry in his last 3 games with 3 touchdowns. And the Steelers have been absolutely gashed by running backs. They gave up over 200 yards to Ajayi in week 6. And then LeGarrette Blount ran for a season high 127 yards against them in week 7. And people have talked about Kenneth Dixon coming back, but I don't think we have
Harbaugh was one of the people that talked him up. I don't think he's somebody you start this week. I was going to mention this when you were done, but since waivers are done, you can add him for free right now without a priority or fab spend.
Sure.
Dixon might be a good stash for next week in case he does see a larger role this week. You'll already have him on your roster.
You know, yep. I'm a fan. All right, there you go.
Obviously.
The Jets taking on Miami. Harmon, what you got?
Yeah, I think you did a really good job of outlining why Kenny Stills is a really good spot start. Devontae Parker is questionable coming into this game. He's also – he played 69% of the snaps, whereas you mentioned Kenny Stills plays 93% of the snaps last week. But if Parker does play, I don't hate him as a dart throw because, again, he can get deep too. But Kenny Stills is probably the preferred option there. In the slot, I think the Jets have been giving up a ton of production to slot receivers. They give up one of the highest touchdown rates in the NFL to slot receivers. So I think that obviously going to be a big Jarvis Landry week, probably a guy you start every week. The question is, the Jets are like the definition of a funnel defense where that they get whipped through the air by passing games, but they're pretty strong against the run, one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Do they bring down Jay Ajayi's hot streak coming out of the bye? I don't think we're going to see 200 yards out of him again, but I don't think that there's any situation where you're not playing him this week.
Bro, look at the numbers. He got 200 yards in two games in a row. He's going to make it three, obviously.
I mean, so you're basically predicting that something that's never happened in NFL history is not going to happen again this week?
Wow.
Yes. I mean, regression, you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta go bold when you can. You know me.
Still going to be a Hall of Famer, though.
True. Well, his jersey is already in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Because he did that. But and then, I mean, on the Jets side, I mean, you kind of know what this is right now. Matt Forte had 61 total touches the last 2 weeks. I think good that point. Is how they play their offense best, though. I mean, it's not going to be efficient. It's not going to be pretty. But he's going to grind to 3.5 yards per carry, and it's going to keep the ball out of Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand for most of the time, which true. Is a good idea.
Sort of like management doesn't trust him or something.
Almost like that. But I think Quincy Enunwa and Brandon Marshall are both really good starts against a bad Dolphins secondary.
Nice.
All right, there you go. Dallas at Cleveland. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant.
I think, first of all, you can feel confident in any Cowboys you have on your roster. Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, obviously Zeke Elliott. You know, any of those guys you can feel confident about starting and rolling out this week against a bad Cleveland defense. The other side, I think, is going to be a little bit more intriguing. I don't particularly like Isaiah Crowell this week, partially because he's not getting a ton of touches on a regular basis. The Browns don't run the football a whole lot. I think they're just running it like 36% of the time, which is in the bottom portion of the league. So the combination of not getting a lot of opportunity combined with going against the defense that's giving up about 93 rushing yards per game, that just doesn't seem to be all that great. But I am very curious to see what a – and I know this is going to sound weird, but a Cody Kessler, Terrell Pryor, Corey Coleman trio could look like. I just think it's really intriguing, and I think that the Cowboys defensively can allow for some passing yards, and especially where what Barry Church is out, Orlando Scandrick, I believe, is out as well. So they're missing two key pieces in that secondary. And for as much as people I know like to joke about Cody Kessler, he hasn't played bad football this year. So I'm really keeping a close eye on that. I would start Pryor. If you need just a dart throw or a Hail Mary, maybe you try somebody like Corey Coleman. But I just want to watch this group and see what's there, and maybe there's something to build on there.
Man, I'm excited to start Corey Coleman, to be honest. Jacksonville at KC. Gelhar, what you got?
Well, let's start on the Jacksonville side of the ball. I would be terrified of starting pretty much anybody outside of Allen Robinson, and even then I don't feel great about it. But I think this is a decent game to try and chase his ceiling. He should avoid Marcus Peters a fair amount, and hopefully he can get over on the secondary defenders there. I'm not buying into anything coming out of Nathaniel Hackett's mouth in terms of running the ball more and stuff, because I'm going to bring you guys back to August of 2013 when I read this headline on NFL.com. Okay. C.J. Spiller to run for Buffalo Bills, quote, until he throws up. You know who gave us that quote? Nathaniel Hackett, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. So as great as it would be to see T.J. Yeldon or Chris Ivory take over more of a featured role here or see some carries.
Would it really be that great?
We need running backs. That's the only reason it'd be great. It's just because then maybe people could shut up about Ty Montgomery and my mentions.
There you go.
On the flip side, I think Charkandrick West is a fantastic play, as we've all kind of discussed now that Spencer Ware has officially been ruled out. Good nugget. I had referenced it, I think, on Monday on the podcast, but our friend Mike Taglieri from Pro Football Focus put it into writing that in games where he's had over 18 touches, Charkandrick West has averaged over 18 fantasy points, but when he has failed to hit that 18-touch threshold, he's never amassed more than, like, 65 total yards in a game.
That's weird.
So he's a pure volume back. Like, he needs a lot to help get his numbers up there. But so he's a great start. I'd be worried about Macklin and Kelsey in this passing attack. I mean, Tyreek Hill is a deep dart throw because of his upside. But,
sure.
I mean, you're not sitting Kelsey because of the disparity at tight end, but just
he had a huge week last week, too. So
yeah,
I mean,
not expecting a huge week from him.
No. All right, so there you go. Philadelphia at New York, taking on the Giants franchise. What do you got?
I have a feeling this one's going to be ugly. I don't think you can start anyone on the Giants side except Odell Beckham. They have...
Not even Eli?
Gross.
No way.
It's the Eagles defense.
He's been horrible. The Giants rushing offense is last in the NFL with 70.3 rushing yards per game. Since week four, the Giants have, as a team, have rushed for 195 yards. 27 individual players have rushed for 195 or more yards since week four. Horrible. The Giants are also bottom of the league in turnover rate, so I like the Eagles' defense to bounce back a little bit here.
Interesting.
Eagles' side of the ball, like, I don't know what to do with this Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles situation. Like, we're saying Matthews is going to get the goal line touches. I don't really trust, like... If the volume's not there, I don't trust it. Like, whether he's going to get the red zone touches or not. On a bye week like this, though, like, you probably have no other options. You throw him in there and you hope he gets a short touchdown. I'm personally starting Darren Sproles in a half-point PPR league.
There you go.
Hoping for, like, five catches for 50 yards.
He looked good.
Three rushing yards.
I think he's a good fantasy play this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He's, like, 33 years old and he still looks
– You can't really turn your nose up at a guy that's going to see that kind of – touch snap
and
down
and Wentz isn't throwing the ball downfield, so
right,
and then maybe you take a shot on Jordan Matthews and hope for touchdown. He's averaging 50 receiving yards since week two.
I like Jordan Matthews a lot in this game.
There you go.
I posted that in the Next Gen Stats column, which I keep referencing because there's just so many words in it.
Next Gen Mats.
Yeah. And the way that Eagles have moved from attacking vertically to attacking the short areas of the field, it's really where the Giants are weakest. They give up over 108 yards a game to slot receivers. So I like Matthews a lot this week.
Boom. We'll stay with you, Matt Harmon, Carolina. This starts our afternoon slate of games, or I guess later game slate. Carolina at L.A. Harmon, what you got?
I think that it's nice that there are so many games in the afternoon, too. I think it's like this
is nice?
Total side rant, but like
nice.
There's too many games in the morning.
Yeah, there are.
And then there's not enough games in the afternoon.
Agree.
Well, like,
agree.
Quick aside on that aside is both this week and last week had six teams on bye. Last week we only had two afternoon games. This week we have four, I believe, right?
Five. It's weird.
Five. Like, that's a much better split because there's just so much going on in the early games then where you're literally spinning and then you're left, you know, scratching areas of your body in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, it's like if you've got two bad games on and you're quickly like, oh, I'm not interested anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's just better overall for the NFL to have these later games. But
Carolina
and Los Angeles, sorry, I said that was going to be a side thing. I mean, Rams offense, like we talked about some of these guys like Lance Kendricks, Brian Quick, that could be sleepers against the Panthers defense. I think if you are desperate, I think both of those guys make very good plays. We're also on Jared Goff watch, though. Like, Case Keenum, I don't think you can roll him out there as a streamer because he could get yanked at any time.
Oh,
like they are preparing to make the move to Goff.
Oh,
so
God, no.
Yeah, which I don't think is going to make the offense any better. And the passing offense has been surprisingly viable at times, but the mistakes are racking up for Keenum, and I think they will eventually get Goff out there. But I don't think that's like a net positive for Todd Gurley or anything, who continues to not be able to get anything going, and I don't think that's going to change against the Panthers, who are still really strong up front. So, I mean, you kind of know what you're doing with the Rams there. I didn't mention Tavon Austin. That was on purpose. And then on the Panthers side, again, they're a super predictable team at this point. I think this is a good game for Kelvin Benjamin, even if the Rams' top corner, Tremaine Johnson, comes back. I think that a first week off injury, I think Kelvin Benjamin could have his way with him. And he has over 70 yards in every game in his last three or four. So I like him a lot. He hasn't found the end zone yet. I think Benjamin's a good bet for a TD this week. And, I mean, Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart, Cam Newton, those are your guys.
Fire them all up. New Orleans at San Francisco. This could be a ridiculously high-scoring game. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant.
Start all your Saints.
There you go.
Start them all.
Start them all.
Start
Willie Snead.
But Marcus,
start them all?
They're not on the road. I mean, they're on the road. They're not at home.
They're playing San Francisco.
Oh, trends.
So, you know, Breeze, all three of the wide receivers, Thomas, Cooks, Snead.
Lean dog.
Hey, look. Look at the tight ends who are out this week. Yeah, you might be starting the Fleen dog.
Fleener played 36% of the snaps. Josh Hill way out snapped him last week.
That's fine. They don't throw the ball to Josh Hill.
Right, Josh Hill.
Like, he's on the field, but they don't throw the ball to him.
Right.
I know, but it's just like, do you really want to play a Fleener when like he's going to play less than 40% of the snaps? That might change. Brandon Cooks also played less snaps last week. I think it could have been because they were running with Tim Hightower.
He doesn't play as many snaps, but when he's on the field, the chances of him having the ball come his way, look, when he's on the field, they are probably throwing the ball is
good
what
point.
That means.
Yes.
So there's the upside
I
there.
I just want to put the information out.
I get it. I totally get it. And, you know, any other week, I would say don't start him. But a week like this, when you have not only a lot of tight ends, but a lot of productive tight ends on bye or injured, then Fleener's not a bad option. We talked a little bit about the Niners side of it. I mean, I guess if you are hurting and you want to stream a quarterback, if you're into that whole Colin Kaepernick thing, don't let me stop you. He's been so mediocre that I can't really fully endorse it. I would like to get behind this whole Carlos Hyde thing, but the injury situation
scary
makes it very scary. I mean, when you have Chip Kelly basically coming out and saying, I have no idea what's going to happen with Carlos Hyde, that makes it hard to
– Fun.
It makes it hard to start him with any level of confidence.
Oh, boy.
And you can't. You can't
and you don't
really
even know
start.
Who – and even if he goes down, you don't even know who's going to basically take over that back.
Is it Sean Drone?
I feel best about DeJuan Harris.
Yeah, he's the volume guy.
Is it, yeah. yeah, you know, there's
but
those
he was
guys
the volume
there.
Guy that one
yeah.
day.
I mean,
they've literally right. talked about running the hot hand. It could seriously be Mike Davis.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I have no idea.
That backfield.
There's nothing
line.
There. I mean, there are no wide receivers that you're really going to start.
All right, so let's move on.
Flashback to the Eagles' backfield last year.
The end.
By the way, can I throw this out to the group? Are you guys actually buying the fact that Tim Hightower and Mark Ingram will be a committee?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fiery phone-in?
A committee in...
Or do you mean that Hightower is going to be the lead back?
He will be. I think Hightower will be the lead back, but Ingram isn't...
I don't buy it.
Is it going to be just relegated to the bench forever?
Yeah, I don't know.
And the reason
split work.
And the reason I feel better about Hightower is because he's more likely to get goal line carries than
yeah. But he did nothing on his goal line
he was
carries
so bad
last
at the
week.
Goal line.
But he's at least getting them. Like Mark Ingram can't even get them. They would. The Saints would rather hand the ball off to Kobe Fleener from the 1 yard
That's
line.
Right. Yeah. That's
than
right.
Mark
you know,
Ingram.
You know who has more red zone touchdowns than Mark Ingram?
Everybody.
John Kuhn.
Oh,
Well, he's best red zone back in the NFL.
All right, real quick before we move on, Harmon, just because you mentioned how many snaps Josh Hill is playing, let's play a quick game of who has more targets on the year, Josh Hill or Justin Perillo?
Justin Perillo or Josh Hill? Holy hell.
Josh Hill.
I'm going to guess Justin Perillo.
Marcus?
Josh
Hill.
I got to think Josh Hill.
I'm going to say Justin Perillo just because of the way he's asking it.
Yeah, winner with 7 targets is Josh Hill.
Yes, I was right.
Trick questions. These trick questions always get
Justin
me.
Justin Perillo only has 2.
I win.
That's why I brought him up, because it's not that disparate, and Justin Perillo doesn't do
no,
it.
No I wonder win. The Packers' offense is in a slump. They don't have their best weapon out there.
Gotta All get right. that seam-stretching Justin Perillo.
And he's stretching something, but it's not the seam.
Seams of his pants.
I will go on record saying I think Mark Ingram's going to be the lead back in New Orleans.
Woo!
And that's coming from me.
1,000-yard season?
Does it hurt your soul to say that?
No, it doesn't. He's not going to get 1,000 yards.
Why do you think that?
Why do I?
What is your reasoning?
I don't buy the committee story. I mean, just because he fumbled the ball in 2 straight games, I don't.
And then
buy
Hightower
it.
Came in and dominated.
But he didn't, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's like he got a lot of carries. He got 26 carries. I get it. That's
I just
cool.
added this to the email rundown that we'll send out to the company once this is posted. I think Mark Ingram is going to be the lead back in New Orleans.
Boom.
Noted Mark Ingram.
Let's make a graphic.
Noted Mark Ingram.
Can we make get the social team to make a graphic and blast that out on Twitter?
Oh, yep, we'll try. I'm going to highlight
James Coe's face.
Tennessee at San Diego. Alex Gellhart, give me your take.
Sorry, I was May updating that. Take is Delanie Walker going to be a game time decision now.
Yeah.
So
one more tight end that might not be available to you.
I think DeMarco Murray is still going to lead this backfield in Tennessee. I think because of all the injuries and stuff, I don't think it's crazy to trot out Henry in the flex. I'm with you. Would you put your hands down?
Everything I just said on my fiery phone, you guys are just striking me down.
Hey, you'll prove us right on Monday. But I was going to say, I think Henry's a fine play in the flex just because DeMarco Murray has finally shown signs of wear and tear.
Yeah.
They are very much in the running to win this division and go to the playoffs right now.
That's crazy.
Which you think they would want Murray for, so it would make sense to give some more carries to their 6'3", 250-pound
Heisman
tank
trophy
known as Derrick Henry.
Train.
Passing game-wise, I'm worried, but you could throw a dart at either Rashard Matthews or Kendall Wright. Because they've been getting the touchdown upside lately. On the flip side, Marcus already hit Dontrell Inman. Hunter Henry's out. I think Antonio Gates is a great play. And then I would not play Travis Benjamin, even if he does feel okay and is going to play. But I would start up Tyrell Williams.
Did you mention Delanie Walker already?
Yes, yeah. Game time decision.
Game time decision.
All right, Indianapolis taking on Green Bay franchise. What you got?
Well, Green Bay is going to score all the points because Indianapolis's defense stinks.
And they're at home.
And it's at Lambeau. So start all your Packers. we talked about this already. All the wide receivers.
You can't start all your back.
Montgomery, Nelson, and Adams.
Oh, you mean Trevor Davis and Geronimo Allison?
No, not those guys.
Jeff Janis,
and obviously Aaron.
Duh.
But I wrote a little bit about Andrew Luck here in my air to ground analysis.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's the QB2 right now in fantasy. Some people might not realize this because
I have him. I don't realize that.
Yeah, he's averaging
so consistent
21.03 fantasy points per game, even with Moncrief, Dorsett, Allen, all these guys out. He's been producing. Last week he struggled, but he had 60 yards on the ground, which helped boost his total. He ranks second in the NFL in completions of over 20-plus air yards, second only to Matt Ryan. And the Packers, who have a banged-up secondary, allow the sixth highest passer rating, 108.75.
Shootout City.
And the second most touchdowns, 5, on deep passes this season. So
I like it.
I think I like Andrew Luck's upside. Frank Gore is a low, high floor flex play.
Go get it.
Yeah, Denver. Go get it. All the points in this game.
Our friends in the desert have this listed as one of the highest scoring games of the week.
Oh, at Area 51?
Yes. Yeah. I would not be afraid to stream the Packers defense, though. I had to do that in a couple spots, even though they could give up a ton of points to the Colts.
Of course.
Andrew Luck Andrew Luck and that offense are still – he's the most sacked quarterback in the league by a mile.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons he leads the league in completions of 20-plus air yards or whatever is because he has to sit back there for – ever.
Yeah. Hang in.
So even if he and the Colts put up 25, 30 points on the Packers, if they get enough sacks and maybe a turnover here or there, could still put up a decent week.
Man. Nice. All right, Denver at Oakland, big time AFC West battle. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, this is an interesting game for sure. It's good, be good to see the Raiders in primetime after seeing the Bears in primetime
for Raiders.
So many weeks. I like the idea of the Broncos, especially in this game, even though they're on the road. I think they can run on Oakland. I think they can get the ball to the wide receivers. I mean, you know what Denver's offense is. That is one of the most highly concentrated offenses in the NFL. And Booker last week had 6 targets, caught 5 passes,
even
though he didn't play the whole game. So I think he has a really good floor this week and going forward especially.
Super high upside too.
The question is the Raiders. Like, what do you do with them playing Denver? It's not in Denver, so that's at least a little bit better. But they're one of the best pass protection teams, while the Raiders are one of the – I mean, while the Broncos are one of the best pass rushing teams.
Right.
So it's tough to bench Derek Carr after going for 500 yards last week, but I think it's at least worth talking about. But with the lack of streaming options, I think you probably have to roll him out.
Yeah. The Derek Carr thing, really, I'm conflicted about it.
I don't really know what to tell people.
He's played so well, and he has such great weapons in that offense, but Broncos.
And he gets the ball out quick. Like, I don't know, for some reason, everybody wants to always like call him a gunslinger or whatever, but they don't push the ball downfield that much. They get the ball out quickly. They run a lot of timing-based concepts. So, I mean, I think that he could certainly have, like, a high floor sort of game. I don't know if he's going to hit a big ceiling, but similar to like what Matt Ryan did against the Broncos, like maybe get you 15 points, get a few of his weapons involved. Like, I think this won't be one of the weeks where Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper go off, but I think one of them can have a big day. And if I was forced to choose, I'd probably pick wrong, but
wrong.
I think I would probably go with Crabtree. Chris Harris has actually never allowed Amari Cooper to catch a pass on him.
Ever?
Through the two games they saw each other last year.
Holy hell.
So
never.
There is the – well, I had tweeted this out earlier in the week, too, as I just closed my Twitter account. Good work, idiot. that in the two games against Crabtree and Cooper last year, the Broncos held the duo of them to only, like, 12 catches for 124 yards with no touchdowns.
Fun. So Seth Roberts, then?
I mean, what I added to that is also that was part of that was due to Amari Cooper having an 0-for-8 game when he was dealing with his foot injury later in the season. And that this offense is better than it was last year. So now that Aqib Talib is out, there's a good chance for them to buck that trend. But
as
Marcus pointed out, those are good cornerbacks that are able to lock down good receivers.
I think if you're wondering about Derek Carr, the fact that Aqib Talib looks like he's probably not going to play, I think probably should tilt you towards, and again, with the buys and all of that, I think it probably should tilt you towards actually playing the guy. So there you go. All right, last game of the week, Buffalo at Seattle. Very quickly, MG, what do you got?
I don't know what to do with anybody in this. I mean, I really don't. Like, you know, the defenses on either side are pretty good. Right now these teams are sort of mirror images of one another in a lot of ways. Like, the wide receivers don't really excite you on either side. The quarterbacks are both too athletic guys who, at least in the past, have shown they can make plays with their legs. We haven't seen much of that from Russell Wilson since he's been hurt this year.
Yeah.
They're teams that want to run the football. They want to play defense. They want to kind of grind it out. But I don't see anybody in this game, at least right now, putting up a huge number for you.
God, I hope this.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm like avoiding this game like the plague.
There's nothing about it that excites me.
Do you think even 40 points are scored in this game? Totally.
Oh, probably not.
Absolutely not. No way. Probably not.
No way.
Crazy.
Yeah. 0% chance.
It's going to be one of those Monday night games where people have a few fantasy guys left. Like, I only need 7 points.
Yeah, and
it'll be
good luck. Good luck to you.
Just like that Arizona-Seattle game, 6-6 tie.
It's going to be Doug. People are going to be depending on Doug Baldwin and hoping that he gets 5.
Dan Carpenter's going to go off.
Steve Hausch, get at home, baby.
Hausch money.
All right, Daily Daps and get out.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hub. Give me daps, cause I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up, daps about, daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. I'll start us off. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to Daily Dap.
Selfish.
Very selfish.
Nice.
Okay.
Scott, high five.
Why are you guys giving high fives in front of my face? I don't like this.
They do it all the time in front of me.
I know, it's ridiculous. The Wonder Woman trailer came out. And boy, I was impressed. I liked it. I thought it looked really good. I'm really excited to see it. I know there's a lot of DC haters out there. That's fine.
No, we just mostly dislike Zack Snyder and what he's done to
I just movies. Dislike terrible movies. But I will say, I liked most of the trailer, too. I was totally on board. At the end, it got a little like, explosions.
You're going to see that. I mean,
yeah, but it was like, that's what annoys me, too, is when it's just gratuitous, like, explosions for the sake of explosions. So I was like, I'm not going to judge it. I still want to see it. Because you're right. The trailer, for the most part, looked really, really good. But that was the one part where I was like, ooh.
Who is who's Wonder Woman? Gal Gadot. I thought she was tremendous in that.
She was such great casting.
Yeah, it's great. I think she's going to do a great job. But no, I thought I think she's a great cast, and I think I'm hoping that it will be a good movie. It looked really good, at least from what
It'd be awesome to have a kick-ass big movie like that with a female superhero lead too.
You know what? That's true. I didn't think about that, but no, you're right. Actually, I didn't think
because
about that at all.
Because
you're right.
All of the biggest, like, so far, like, female characters.
What, bro? You didn't like Elektra?
In recent movies, have had to have been secondary characters.
Oh, you didn't like Catwoman, bro?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to leave the podcast
now. What about Ghostbusters? Does that count?
By the way, if you've never seen Catwoman starring Halle Berry, just Google
Catwoman
basketball scene. Yep.
No thanks.
It is one of the most ridiculous, hilarious scenes in cinematic history.
And yet, I think Electrical was worse.
I don't know. It's toss-up.
It's so bad. I will also Daily Dap Mark Manson. If you have not checked out his work, please do. MarkManson.net. He just wrote a recent post with the headline, very catchy headline. It's being shared all over the place. The American Dream is Killing Us. It's a fantastic read. It's not as political as you would think. All right. I know that it sounds very political, and I know in this political season, good God, I can't wait for the election to already happen and be over with, so I could get back on Facebook finally.
You will have found that you didn't miss much, by the way.
It's horrendous. Facebook is horrendous right now. I can't handle it. But MarkManson.net, go check it out. He's a great writer. I've daily dapped him before, actually.
Is he like a political blogger?
No, he's not. That's the funny thing. He's a life blogger.
Oh, cool.
So he'll give you like motivational stuff. He'll give you like breakdown of like having kids. I think he even has like a post about burritos, about what makes a good burrito. I don't know. He's a great.
Meat and cheese?
Hey, he's.
I was gonna say, how do you screw up a burrito?
Oh, there's so many.
Oh, it's happened.
So many ways.
First of all,
oh,
you can steam the tortilla, which is a no-no. You got to grill it.
You could also,
way off topic.
You could also put the ingredients in so that you don't get every ingredient and every single.
No, I mean honestly, it's been a while since I had a good burrito rant on this podcast because I know like last season we slipped into them a couple times. But anyways, let's move on.
I said that, but now I'm thinking like when they put like.
It's layered horizontally.
Not moving on.
It's the worst.
Right.
Anyways, whatever.
It's Daily Dap. So if people didn't want to hear this crap, they would have tapped out already.
It's like the longest.
I don't want to hear it. Okay.
Okay. Bye. MarkManson.net for those folks. He's. I'm telling you, I cannot advocate this guy enough. He's a great writer. He does such a good job of taking complex ideas, breaking them down, making it entertaining. MarkManson.net. go check out all of his work, but his latest work, The American Dream is Killing Us, is going viral, and I read it, and it's a great read. All right, so there you go. All right, MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's up?
I got to dap the World Series.
Oh, my God, Game 7!
Game 7 was the capper that was just amazing, but the series as a whole was phenomenal, and I guess we shouldn't have expected less between the two teams that were involved. I mean, two teams with long histories of just sadness and ineptitude.
It's true.
This was the only way I felt like the World Series could end, with a Game 7 that was epic, that that was tied late on the home run by Rajay Davis, and then went to extra innings. Epic. The Cubs pull it out, and
rain delay
in the ninth, in the tenth.
The only thing that would have made it better is if somehow, like, you know, fires started in the outfield or something like that, because that's how a Disney movie would have ended too. It would have been raining and a giant forest fire would have broken out.
I would have been there.
But congratulations to the Cubs. I have a lot of really good friends who are Cubs fans.
Sure.
One of my closest friends who's been a Cubs fan for his whole life, who lives and works in Ireland. I was kind of keeping up with him all night, and he texted me. He says, after the game, a couple hours after the game, he says, "Well, it's 7 a.m. I guess I should go to work now. I'm still drunk."
Wow.
So he teaches. He teaches at the University of Galway in Ireland.
Oh,
I would have hoped
that
he just, you know, canceled class or just, you know, just put on the tape of the game and said, "Here, this is what
I was telling Marcus." I was texting throughout the game with one of my good buddies who's a lawyer in the Chicago area, and he had court like farther away from their office. So we were all texting. We were text chain. We were wondering like how he was holding up, because when I last talked to him, it was going on like 1:30 in the morning in Chicago, and he was still finishing his bottle of champagne.
Hell,
and he finally responded. He's like, "Court went okay. Glad I didn't have to do a lot today." He's like, "Currently at a truck stop, about to take a car nap before I go back to the office."
So. Hell yeah,
shambles.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You didn't even mention this, but how about that tweet from that dude from 2014?
Oh my God,
insane. Oh,
that was what made the game for me. Well, as a documented not fan of baseball, I still watched a little bit of it and did enjoy it too, which is how you know it's good. But
prove it.
It was next to me. We both actually simultaneously fell asleep for a little while. In the
second.
Okay.
Also went to the gym in the 10th inning.
Oh, good.
But I watched it from there too.
Yeah,
it was fun. That made it even more fun because then the online experience was great too.
Because the tweet, for those of you who don't know, it got shared a ton. But a guy from some rando dude from 2014 tweeted out that he predicted the Cubs and the Indians in this World Series. He predicted a tied game.
In Game 7.
In Game 7 would go to extra innings, and then the world would end.
Did he predict the rain delay part?
No, that was the thing for me.
That was like when it started.
Yeah, no. So I was like, oh, he predicted the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop raining.
Yeah. Here's the full
It'll
tweet.
Rain forever.
2016 World Series. Cubs versus Indians, and the world will end with the score tied in Game 7 and extra innings. Hashtag apocalypse. Tweeted at 9:23 a.m. November 4th, 2014.
It
is currently up to 163,000 retweets.
Oh, my God.
Like, what's great is I actually saw that tweet earlier in the week, and it only had, like, 1,000, 2,000 retweets. I was like, oh, LOL, this is funny. And then during Game 7 of the World Series, when it's going to extras, my entire timeline is
yes. It was insane. Daily daps to that dude.
So, by the way, last thing, you mentioned tweets.
Yeah.
The Draymond Green 3-1 sucks, man.
Oh, that's right.
That tweet was also pretty good.
Oh, good times. Matt Harmon.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually do an undaps, and then I will do a daps.
Okay, great.
Undaps to the people who do the worst thing you can possibly do in the bathroom. And there are a lot of bad things you can do in the bathroom. But in a public place, the worst thing you can do in the bathroom is spit your gum in a urinal. And right before we came into the podcast studio, I was at a urinal that had 3 pieces of gum spit in the urinal.
Well, hey. This
must be a thing on this floor.
Yeah, the second floor.
Trends.
Ugh.
But listen. That doesn't go anywhere, people that spit your gum in a urinal. It leaves your mouth and it's no longer your problem, but there's no drain. Like, it's not spitting it into a real toilet and it's going to get flushed into a tube. Somebody has to stick their hand in there and pick that out. So if you do that, what you're essentially saying is another human, it's their job to pluck my used gum from a place where people pee.
Yeah.
And that makes you a bad person.
Hashtag privilege.
Wow.
That makes
you
a bad person. I wasn't going to say that, but since I just saw it on the pod, it was worth saying.
Okay.
Now, my actual daily depth, something I saw while we were on the pod, because, of course, I'm not prepared for this segment ever.
Okay.
There's a Twitter account called What He Looks Like.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's at What He Looks Like. And during the show, they tweeted out, Ben McAdoo looks like a manager of a struggling hot tub outlet store. And actually, it was not during the podcast. But
agreed.
It just got brought back. But, like, go follow that account, because some of the things that they have, like,
are really fun,
hilarious.
What it's good to bring like. It back. Marcus dapped it ages ago, but it's such a good account
but it's
to
good.
Bring back.
That's great. Alex Gilhar.
I was also going to dap Game 7 of the World Series because I thought it was fantastic, fun to watch. Speaking of things that were fun to watch, Marcus and I went to see Doctor Strange last night.
Oh, great.
Which also a bunch of people were tweeting at. It's like, you're not watching football. Football's on. I was like, guys, it's 2016. There's DVR. There's Game Pass.
Yeah, but you can't feel it in the moment.
Plus, spoiler alert for all you out there, when you guys were doing other things, we're watching football.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point.
Doctor Strange, it wasn't the best entrance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It wasn't the worst. It was right in the middle. It was good. It was funny, entertaining.
It's a good popcorn flick.
Some cool visual effects and stuff. And I will agree with that one review that we saw, Marcus, that said, do not go see it under the influence because there are some...
There's some trippy things.
Some trippy stuff in there.
What are you two implying?
Trippy, bro.
Beer.
Beer, right?
Yes.
All right, franchise, give me a daily dap.
Yeah, I got a couple real quick. My sister got married last weekend, so daily daps to Beth and Greg.
Undaps to you, selfish, not being here.
Right. Well, also, daps to all of you guys, and especially Gelhar for covering my butt.
There you go.
Gelhar covered the running back portion of the targets and touches.
Oh,
so on top of all of his waiver wire articles. I know that that's a lot of work, so thanks, Gelhar.
You are welcome.
Stud.
And then I'd like to give a daily daps to Dave Damashek, who's been helping me and Matt Harmon out with a little segment on Fantasy and Friends on NFL Network.
It's the best.
Called
so
Fantasy
good.
Hipsters. I don't
it's
know if you guys
best.
Talked about this, but...
Yes, yeah. We did.
Tuesday. It's every Tuesday now we're doing it.
Oh, it's every Tuesday now?
Yes, I mean, yeah, it's just...
Oh, is that
people
right?
like it, so we're going to keep doing it. So Fantasy and Friends on NFL Network on Tuesdays can see me and Matt Harmon... There and then one more daily dap to Adam Ranks, like dislike, which we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
He wrote an amazing article today. He does this like dislike every week. This is my third season working here. It's the best one I've read from top to bottom. The lead is fire, and then there are some epic little statistical nuggets in there to help you with your fantasy stuff. There's some funny stuff. Read it from top to bottom. You won't be disappointed. Daps to Adam Rank, and I'm done.
All right. There you go. Are we done?
We're done.
We are done. For the franchise, for the WizKid, for MG, for Harmon, I'm Co. Pieces.
See you later.
It's gonna be fun.
It is.
What was that?
I don't know.
Was that
NSYNC?
I didn't mean for it to sound that way, but I think like
it's gonna just, be me.
Yeah.
It's gonna be me. It just kind of came out that way though.
Wow.
So whatever.
All that I do. Oh God. All right.
Got enough for you.
Wait,
nobody else.
Gelhar's music. This is a summary of Gelhar's music takes. NSYNC is good, apparently.
NSYNC is great.
I mean, what's wrong?
Oh, sorry.
With
they're
no,
a boy band.
No, I don't mean this. Takes is not what I meant. I meant this is his tastes.
Uh huh.
Boy band pop music, Hoobastank, and the most garbage hard rock metal possible.
Hey, look,
I just summed up everything.
I fell into an 80s dance music wormhole on YouTube yesterday, so I'm not going to criticize anybody.
This is fine.
Okay.
Oh, franchises certainly.
Jane Child. Top,
what about Top 40 Chives?
Mumford and Sons.
Top 40 Chives.
God damn it!
You heard that new Bruno Mars MJ?
What have you? It's out. It's out. There's a new song today.
No, I haven't heard it.
God damn it!
Jesus. Oh,
I hate
God.
That this is a thing.
Top 40 Chives
of all the narratives. To stick.
Mainstream Chives.